And now I invite you to bow your heads in prayer with me, please. God, as we continue to worship and to praise you with thanksgiving for the many ways that you bless us, may we continue to hear your voice in the spoken message this morning. And Lord, I just pray that you are our rock and redeemer always, and that the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. As Brad referred to when he shared with us, this is our day for grateful giving, and it also ends our three-week series entitled Enough, Discovering Joy Through Simplicity and Generosity. And if you missed any of the earlier messages, you can always access those on our website, as all sermons are archived there. But also, if you want feel so moved to take notes today, there is an insert in your bulletin that you made that you have space to do that. I just quickly want to give you, what is the takeaway? What is the takeaway for you from these 3 weeks? And I'd like to say it's 4 points. First of all, the takeaway is that everything that you have is from God. Second is, God wants us to live simply. Third, when we live simply, it allows us to become generous people. And fourth, generosity leads to joy. 4 quick points for the takeaway. So let me recap today and embellish a little bit more. First of all, remember that absolutely everything that you have is from God. And we're reminded that in Scripture in 1 Peter, hear his words as he reminds us of that. His divine power has given us everything needed for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And it is his divine power that reminds us that who is the divine power? It's God. And next, it is God who has given to us everything. And God gave to us everything through his own knowledge, because God truly knows what we need. And so, therefore, we have been given all that we have through the wisdom of God. So he says to us, I'm giving you all that you have. Take it. It's yours. It's yours to enjoy and yours to use. But God also did the giving knowing that we humanly, that we struggle with greed, and that we struggle with self-sufficiency, thinking that we've done this ourselves. And we also struggle with a culture that is continually hounding us, that puts us into the trap of, got to have a bigger house, got to have a new car, boy, that newest technology I've got to have. God knew that we would have these kinds of challenges. And he gave us this free will that we were going to make our own choices about what we were going to do with what he has blessed us with. But God truly, as I emphasized in the first week, God truly desires for us to simplify our lives and to refocus our lives on him, because that will give to us a better life right now, and it will also help prepare us for a better life in the future. So the question is, what tent do you want to live in? Do you want to live in the tent of discontent, or do you want to live in the tent of contentment? And I think I like one of the verses from Proverbs chapter 11, because I think what it says to us is, it again reminds us that we've got a choice, because this is a proverb of contrast. So here are the verses 24 through 25, and then I'll reflect on the contrast. Some give freely, yet grow all the richer. Others withhold what is due and only suffer want. A generous person will be enriched, and one who gives water will get water. Okay, what are the contrasts? The first one is, some give freely, yet grow all the richer, and a generous person will be enriched, reminding us that when we give freely, when we get to that place of generosity in our lives, it's amazing the blessings that we receive, and one of those blessings is joy. Contrast that with, others withhold what is due, so don't give what is due, and only suffer want. Only suffer want reminds us that we don't get then what God wants us to have. And that's not just materially. One who gives water will get water. So what we give is what we're going to receive. So there's the contrast. So the first week I asked is, which tent do we want to live in? Last week, Pastor Mike helped us to take a look at how to get to that tent of contentment. And honestly, he shared with us 6 principles or guidelines in Scripture. And as guidelines say, here's how you get there to that contentment. It says, it biblically, it tells us how to get there. And last week we handed out magnets, and if you did not have an opportunity to get one of those, there are more at the Welcome Center that you can have. Last week I had an opportunity to attend an event, and there was a guest speaker there. And the guest speaker was Pete the Planner. And whether you like him or not, anybody know who he is, Pete the Planner? No hands. Nobody knows him. Oh, there, where you got some hands? And like I said, it wasn't about whether you like him or not. But I listened to what he had to share, and in the middle of what he was talking about, he shared that he and his wife and his family had made a decision at one point that they were going to be minimalists. In other words, they were going to live in a minimal sort of way because they knew that was good for their life right then, but he also knew it was a part of a preparation for in their later years when they would retire that they could continue the standard of living. If they lived minimally now, that would probably mean that when they got to that point of retirement, they would not have to drop their standard of living. It would keep an evenness, so minimal made sense to he and his family. Of course, I took an opportunity to visit with him afterwards and shared with them a little bit about talking about living simply and to simplify our lives. And we talked about some of the other principles that he shared in his talk, and I said, you know, honestly, all of these principles are biblically based. It's all in the Bible for us. And so why did God give all this information and wisdom to us? Well, he wants us to learn how to live simply so that we can discover generosity and then discover joy. So another principle that God teaches to help us to get there is the biblical principle of tithing. God says, I give you 100%, it's all yours, but I want you to give me back 10%. Why? Well, the first reason is God knows that we need to be grateful, that our default mode where we begin, it needs to be gratitude. So it's a part of being grateful to God and to honor and glory and praise him. But second of all, it's intended to help us to learn not to live to our limit or beyond our limit. It was putting a limit on us, on our wealth and our possessions before we get there. And finally, third, the 10% is what God gets, and that's what God gets to use to accomplish his mission here on earth. So God says to us, you know, I'm gonna ask you for 10%. It's 10%. That's a biblical tithe. So I thought today to help us out with this a little bit that I have a visual to help us understand what this looks like in our lives. So I have before us 10 apples. And so this is the 100% of blessings. It's what God gives us to use. So God says, use it to take care of your family. Use what I give you to take care of your family. And then I want you to clothe yourself, and I want you to have plenty of food to eat. Oh, and yeah, your car, go ahead and buy a car. And in most cases, it's cars, but go ahead and use what I give you to buy a car. And your house, I want you to have house. Your house, I want you to have shelter. And then I want you to set some of this aside for retirement, because that period and stage of life will come for all of us. So set some money aside for retirement. And I want you to take those trips and vacations. And I also know I want you to have pleasures. I want you there to be things that you enjoy in your life. I want you to golf. I want you to join that club. I even want you to buy Colts tickets. And I know that you like to do things for your family and friends, so I want you to be generous, and I want you to give to them. And then here's that final apple, that 10th apple, and that's what I want you to give to me. I give you all this, and I'm asking you just for one apple. But here's what I think happens in the world. I think we look at these 9 apples and we say, you know what, God, it's just not really enough. It's just not really quite enough. And I'll tell you what, there's this trip that I've really been wanting to take. And so I think that I'll just maybe take that, you know, out of that tithe of yours. I'll go take that trip. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a good trip. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, December's coming up. Probably didn't save enough for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So I gotta buy Christmas gifts. My family's growing, I need more. Oh, that retirement that's coming, It's going to come a little quicker than I thought. Taking a little more money. I think I want a lake house in there. This year, maybe you had a lot of medical emergencies. Sorry. I know you don't mind. I want to get a new car. I have to cut a bigger one out of this. And you know what? Really want that big screen television before the Super Bowl. I like shoes. It doesn't take as much of your portion. And that new house we have, it's not satisfying so much more. There's not so much left, but it's really good. You don't mind, do you? And then we say, God, this is the part I'm going to return to you. So what I'm going to give to you. I get it. I honestly do get it. I get the challenge that a biblical tithe is to all of us in all stages of our lives. I get it because, well, it's been a lot of years ago, but I was out of college at one time, just getting out also. And when I got out of college, I was overwhelmed with the need to figure out how all of a sudden to provide for myself. I had an income, but I wasn't used to thinking about paying for a place to live and the utilities and all this stuff. I mean, Mom and Dad always paid for that. I get how it's difficult. And I can stand up here and say I can understand, but pastorally what I need to say to you is I know what Scripture speaks into that time of life. In the book of Leviticus, I think this speaks into that time. All tithes from the land, whether the seed from the ground or the fruit from the tree, are the Lord's. They are holy to the Lord. All tithes of herd and flock, every tenth one that passes under the shepherd's staff shall be holy to the Lord. So the Scripture speaks into my life and says, you know, it doesn't matter if you're getting out of school and you're that age and maybe you're a nurse or you're an attorney or you're a teacher. It doesn't matter because, you know, the Scripture is the same for all of us. And he said, didn't care if you were throwing seed in the ground and that's agriculture was your thing or you were a shepherd. It doesn't matter. The word was all tithes. All tithes are to be given to God. And I get it. I get it in the next stage of life, kind of when you're having children. I mean, I had three children, and I know what it takes. Typically, that's when we talk about a bigger house and probably takes a little different car. And, boy, all of those activities that they're in, those are really, really very expensive. I get it. But the Scriptures don't change how they speak into our life, even at that stage in life, because they still say to us, simplify your life so that you can continue to be generous and you continue to understand what the tithe is all about. I get it. And then when we get into a time of life when like me, I'm an empty nester, and now I have great opportunities that I can give, and that's what Christ still calls us to do. Christ still says, yeah, you know what? You might be in this empty nester time, but remember, you got nine. That one apple still pertains. That teaching still pertains. And we're reminded of that in Genesis. At a time when Abraham was experiencing a real success in his life. And King Melchizedek of Salem brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, maker of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abraham gave him one-tenth of everything. He had it. He had a lot. And he remembered to give. And I understand and I know that as I get to a next stage of life when I'm looking forward to retirement, I know that God wants me to enjoy these, but I also know that God still teaches that there's still that tithe. So when I look at my finances and my wealth at that time, I know that I need to remember this and think about how does this incorporate into what I do with my will and what I do with other investments that I have, because God still preaches that tithe for us to follow. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way, that I go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give one-tenth to you. So when I'm retired and when I'm planning for my legacy, I need to remember God, because it's in the scripture. God created us to be generous, and our generosity comes from counting all that you have as a gift from God. And the choosing to give what you can give, in contrast to waiting until you think you can better afford it. You know, when I thought about that, I thought, you know, that's almost like what my dad said to me when I was a young adult. He said, if you wait until you can afford to have kids, you'll never have them. Anybody hear that before? Have that said to you before? If we wait until we can afford it, we may never have them. So we have all this biblical teaching that helps us to try to steer how we understand all that we have, helps us to understand that everything you have comes from God. And then this biblical teaching that says, you know what, I know how hard it is, and I know that you've got a choice to make. And so maybe somewhere in your heart, maybe God's nudging you to say, you know what, maybe you need to move in a direction that leads you to a life of true generosity. Because when we find that life of true generosity, then we know that true joy. Between you and God, you know what your journey is, but I know what God always hopes is that all of us are always moving in the direction, if not at that tithe, but moving toward that tithe. So how do we look at what we have and say, okay, this is what I've got coming in for a year, and what did I give to the church last year? Well, maybe that was 1% of my income. Maybe I moved to 2% and begin to move in that direction. But that's what God is guiding us to know and desires for us to do. If you're here today for the first time and this is not your church family, we would not expect you to come up and to turn in a commitment card. But what I would ask you to do is to pray for us as we open our hearts to consider what God calls us to do, what generosity is about. And what does our family life picture look like when we look at these apples and what has happened to this one apple that God asks from us? I'll invite you to come forward. If you filled out your card, you may bring them forward. If you still need more time to prayerfully consider what God is saying to you, take your time, bring it to the office, mail in whatever is convenient for you. But as Brad said, this is about, it's about our hearts, most and foremost. But also in that 10%, we need to know that this is what we will allow God to work through us in this upcoming year. Yeah, I'll invite you to come forward at any time. There won't be any ushers. Just come forward when you feel moved to do so. But before we do that, I'd like to invite us to bow our heads in prayer. God, touch our hearts to give in the way that you call. Touch our hearts to understand the kind of giving that you call us to. In the name of Jesus, amen.